I want to talk to you a little bit today about, if I could borrow your chalkboard in your mind a little bit. Could I write over on it a word called reconciliation? Reconciliation. Is that ever needed in life? I suppose that when we think about it, we'll realize that every one of us has needed times of reconciliation. Reconciliation leaves with us the idea that at some point, to need reconciliation, there was something got bruised. Or some relationship or something, there was some separation that needed some healing. Sometimes in a marriage, and my wife and I have had a good marriage, but there's some times in even a good marriage, there's some moments that there needs to be some reconciliation going on. That happens in life. In congregations, how about that? Yeah, we always get along just perfectly. We understand each other well, and or is there some times? It's not our heads, yes. There are some times that we need to have some reconciliation. Sometimes we say something that maybe we shouldn't have said. Sometimes we understood things in a wrong way that we shouldn't have understood that way. Sometimes we let the devil get in there and begin to needle us to the point that it grows to the place that finally the Lord comes. Thank God for Jesus. And He's willing to come and tap us on the shoulder and say, child, pull back a little bit. Let's talk. And I guess I thought about even starting out this message here this afternoon saying, can we talk? I'd hope maybe that we can talk, not just you and me, but let's open up to the Lord. Because a lot of times, there's some reconciliation that needs to happen. And the reconciliation first. Now, over in 2 Corinthians, we want to go there and start out there. You know, reconciliation is a wonderful thing. It's wonderful whenever that gulf, that separation has been brought back together. In the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, here in the perhaps the 18th verse, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. In a fractured world that we live in today, where the tensions are high, for whatever reason the tensions are high, they're high. And did you know we can live godly in the midst of this time? And God would call us to godliness. He would call us to be an example of Christ in this present world, right where we are today, in the election season, in the turmoil of COVID. Can we not be Christ? Oh, yes, we can. Is there not? Grace hasn't run out. The checkbook, the account isn't drained. There's plenty of grace. His grace is sufficient for you and I. And I want to tell you today, in a world that needs to see reconciliation, that needs to see peace, God wants us to be ambassadors of the Prince of Peace. That we're able to let people around us see Christ because they're desperate for something. We're desperate for something. All of us are. We need the Lord. Yes. One of the devil's tactics that he has always used, whether it be in a home, with a congregation, a community, or a nation, or in the world in general, he loves to cause conflict. Conflict isn't necessarily always wrong when we're willing to deal with it as an adult way. Did you know we can have differences of opinion and actually learn and help one another in that time? But the devil likes to take it past just we have a difference of opinion. He likes to elevate it to the point that we feel, I'm sorry, am I getting off? I forget about that. Anyway, the idea the devil would like to cause you and I to get so in so much turmoil in our own spirit that we have lost our peace. Now, there's a reconciliation. There is a ministry of reconciliation. You know what God wants? Listen what we got to get it right in the beginning. The 18th verse. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself. Dear ones, that is where our peace is going to come. That's where the true settled nature, where we can live in a right way in this present evil world, this is where we're going to find it. We need to be reconciled to God. Why do we need to be reconciled to God? Has there been a problem between us and God? Well, yes. Sin, all we like sheep have gone astray. There was a chasm between us and the Lord, caused by sin, caused by things that you and I, well, maybe we can say, but I'm not, I really wasn't that. I've known people that say, I wasn't that bad. And perhaps measured by some others, they weren't that bad. But the fact is, all we like sheep have gone astray. And there was this gulf fixed, this separation. But that's not where it was left. There's a reconciliation that comes between us and God by Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus. He is able, and not only able, He is abundantly willing. For God so loved that He gave His only Son that He might reconcile us to Christ, that we might be saved. There's a reason why He loves. His love reaches out. And as a Heavenly Father, like we have heard about recently, this Heavenly Father, He likes His children to be able to... He likes peace in His home, doesn't He? Which one of us fathers that have raised children or have children in the home, which one of us likes to come home and hear everything in turmoil? Children always kind of, you know what I'm talking about. Always kind of at each other and nitpicking or something. And sometimes I wonder, Lord, what are we doing? Help us. We can get along. Can we not? Yes, in Christ. Do you want to have unity? Do you want to have the joy and peace of the Lord in our hearts and then around us, dear ones? There's a way to do it. And that's first to be reconciled to Christ. In Christ, we find grace. In Christ, there is power. In Christ, there is hope. In Christ, there's a change to the mind. In Christ, there's a change to the heart. In Christ, there's all in all.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, the message that is needed somehow to be received by this world we live in today is Jesus Christ and His crucifixion in our hearts and in our lives, that we might rise to newness of life, different people. And the devil's always there trying to call us back to the old life, to try to get us infected again. And God help us to reject that with all of our heart. That's the reason why James said for us to resist the devil, and he'll flee from us. But that's not where that scripture ends either. The other part of that is an active part that we can do, which is draw nigh to God. And in that drawing nigh to God, there's a drawing nigh that He'll do to us. There's this reconciliation, this home of the soul, this place where we come together with Him. And I think of how important this reconciliation is. we are... So we are given the ministry. One of the things that God has for His body, His bride. Isn't that who we are? That's His church. We're the bride of Christ. One of the things that God wants us to perpetrate, to affect, how else can I say this, to share with the world is a ministry of reconciliation. You know what I mean by that? No, maybe not. Let me try to explain it to you. Part of the ministry of reconciliation is that not only can we go out with the love of God in our heart and share that with our neighborhood, but we can point them to Christ and they ministry. You know what ministry is? This is where we actually reach out with God's love and touch people and affect for change. Is it wrong for us to want to influence people? Well, say, that's a little arrogant of you to want to influence. No, it's not. As a father, I always wanted to influence my children. Don't we? Do you have Christ in your heart? If we have Christ and we enjoy the change that God has brought into us, the enjoyment of following Him with all of our heart, don't we want to share that with those around us? We do. We want to affect them. And I'm not ashamed a bit to tell you today that I hope in some way to influence you. Sometimes I'm a little embarrassed at myself. A brother today came and told me, he said he was watching some of the recordings, videos or something of the Myrtle meeting. He said, I was noticing you up there, the way you were responding to the songs. I'm a little bit embarrassed at times when I see myself, but at the same time, you know what I want to do? I want to affect you. I really hope you come to the place that you enjoy songs and you may well enjoy them just as much as what I do. Maybe it's not quite the same demonstration, but I really want you to be able to really enjoy these songs of Zion when it talks about in the heated furnace, Father, let me stay. Oh, can we find joy in that one? Oh, yes, you can. Oh, the cross has wondrous glories. Oft I prove this to be true. Cause I've been in that place that's so narrow. But when I was there, the cross said this is the way. I can see a pathway through. And how sweetly Jesus whispers, take the cross, thou needs not fear. These songs are wonderful. There's a message in every song. Ministry of reconciliation, you see. God wants to share this that we have in our hearts. This reality of Christ within us. He wants us to be able to share that with the world around us. We have that ministry. Ministry, a lot of times we can think of it's a man up there preaching behind the pulpit. That's not even close to all of it. Not even close. The greatest ministry. Did you know God wants every one of us to be a minister? Everyone. And don't say, not me. Because I'm going to tell you right now, God wants you to be a minister. That doesn't mean He'll ask you to stand up behind a pulpit. He may. And if it does, I say, thank the Lord. But if He is not asking you to stand up and behind a pulpit and minister, you still have a ministry. You know what ministry is? It's when we're willing to lighten somebody's load around us. There's love motivates us to this place that we want to go out and help somebody, affect them for good. What was it Jesus did in the scripture? He went around doing. That's what He did.
Yes.
You know what people did? As Jesus was going around doing good, something about the very love that emanated from Him and His actual deep care that He had for them, they couldn't keep quiet. They went home and told their loved ones and they crowded around Him. And at one point, the throng was so close and so tight that a woman in desperate need, she had to push against. Lord, help us. Help us to carry that love. The ministry of reconciliation. In a time when the devil is trying everything he can to cause separation. In this our time and this our day. I want to ask us to purposefully turn our eyes away from the chaos. And the doubt and the fear. And turn our eyes away from that and look steadfastly to Jesus Christ. And be like Him all we know how to. In those areas that we don't know how to, ask Him for grace to know how to do it better. Pursue Him with all of your heart. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And then it said thy mind. Remember the first message Friday night, talk about the battle in our mind. That's an area God wants us to give Him this place, this thought process in my mind, this area that the devil would like to come in and play, and I would begin to recognize where the devil is trying to infect my mind and trying to cause a lot of discomfort and conversations that perhaps I shouldn't even have. And the Lord would like to come in and say, I want your mind. We can do that. We can do battle. And God help us to open up our eyes today to areas that the devil is right now. Yes. Right now. Trying to cause discontent. We can all carry a burden for our, and we should carry a burden for our nation. And our leaders, we should all do that. But you know, be careful that you don't let carnality into that. Be careful. Please be careful. You can have passionate feelings, but be very careful. There's a ministry that God has for us in the midst of this turmoil, of reconciliation. Now, I would like to, well, maybe I want to read on down here, maybe the 19th verse, to wit. Let's go ahead and start again at the 18th and to get in context. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We pray you. Notice the love of Brother Paul as he's, I pray you in Christ, let me stand before you as Jesus Christ. I know I'm not, but in His stead, let me talk with you. Well, in Jesus Christ, be reconciled. Be reconciled to Him. Be ye reconciled to God, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. This is what God wants to do for every one of us. He wants to create righteousness in our life. And you may be here today, and you may look at yourself and say, I'm not very righteous. And it might be so. But that doesn't mean that's not what God wants to create in you. God wants to create righteousness. There's a place of forgiveness and cleaning and bringing us over into the holy, the godly way, cleaning us up. But then as we walk, the Lord wants to establish righteousness in our daily walk. He wants to create that ye might be made the righteousness of God. Being an example to those around you. My nature has always been a little bit impetuous at times. I have, the Lord's had to really work with me in some of my ideas and perhaps actions. No actions. Brother Randy Sorrell one time, years ago, saw me one time when I was very frustrated, reacted very poorly. And I remember after that, I said, Brother Randy, would you pray with me? I'm telling you that to let you know that we develop in the Lord. I'm not preaching that we don't live holy lives. Don't get me wrong here. But there are places that you'll find as you walk with the Lord. There's places that you'll find that the Lord opens up an understanding that we're just not there. And that's another time to take that you found and put that on the altar. And say, Lord, I want to be there. I think not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do. I've got some things back there I've had to forget, had to put behind and put under the blood. And I press toward the mark. Yes. I want reconciliation with my Lord. I want Him to know that I love Him with all of my heart. I want, Lord, help me, give me grace, give me, create in me, Lord. Create something. Lord, Your godliness, Your righteousness, Your holiness within me, because I don't have it in myself. This, all this that I fed, this mental rancor that begins to build up to the point that then a pop-off valve goes off. So, have you ever had that happen? Perhaps you haven't. I hope you haven't. But I have, and I've had to come back and say, I'm sorry. And the Lord would like to cause some reconciliation, some healing, some reestablishing, a place where that doesn't happen so much or happen at all in our life. That's His will. Be you reconciled to God, this place of righteousness that the Lord would like to create in you and I. Then I would like to go over into Ephesians. Ephesians, the second chapter. This has been really challenging to me. In the midst, again, of human interaction. You know, I want to say that it has been the mark of God's children throughout history. I know there have been times that people have gotten a little off before, but it has been the mark of God's children throughout history. Jesus set the tone when, remember when He, at Jacob's well, you remember who He was talking to? Remember who He was talking to at Jacob's well? Was that a Jewess? Samaritan, wasn't it?
Yeah.
How did the Jews see Samaritans? Was that God's will? God wanted some reconciliation to go on. He wanted some healing to go on. And Jesus was sitting midday at this well, Jacob's well. And this woman came by. And was going to draw some water. And she wasn't. I don't know what the difference was. I imagine they looked perhaps similar in many, many ways. Folks, we're humans. We look very similar in many, many ways. But this is what the devil would like to do. He would like to cause subtle differences to be accentuated to the point that the devil gets an advantage and causes some separation. That's not God's will, has never been God's will. It's not His desire that we let that be the thing that drives us in life. Never has been, and especially in today's world, that's not what God's will is for us. So let's go over here now in Ephesians, the second chapter. Well, I don't hardly know. Maybe start with the 8th verse and read on down. For by grace are you saved. Oh, that's an important place to start. Salvation through grace and through grace of the Lord through Jesus Christ. Through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. If you want to say good works doesn't save you, I'll agree with you. That we don't have enough good works to save us. We can't do that. That's not going to work. But we are saved to good works. That's what God wants to do. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, in these good works, and these things that God ordains for us to walk in, Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, were Gentiles, were they inheritors of this gift of God? Did they have right to say, this is our Savior? What we do today in Christ. But in time past, you were Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision, but by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. In other words, there was a separation. There was a rancor going on here. They didn't have much communion, or they didn't have confidence in one another. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's quite a condition to be in. But that's who us as Gentiles, that's where we were. Without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. For He is, and I would like to be able to emphatically somehow get this in our minds, for He is our peace. I wish I could say that more firmly. He is our peace. He is our peace. That's how we get it. That's how we're going to have unity. That's how barriers will be broken down now. That's how racial barriers are broken down. That's how these things are fixed. It's going to be in Christ. Yes. And outside of Him, there's no hope, dear ones. I wish somehow I could get that across to you the way I feel it right now. Outside of Christ, there is no hope. Look at that flow, the downward flow of the world around us that doesn't know Christ. There is no hope. But in Christ, He calls us to oneness around the cross.
Yes, thank the Lord.
In Christ, there is a place that you and I can get to know Him. And we are born of the Lord. We are born of the blood of Jesus Christ. He is made of one of His own blood, one flesh. You and I, we're no longer strangers. We are brought nigh. And oh, the devil would like to change our perception or understanding of that. He would like to cause enough rancor to go about in our heart that we forget that we're brothers or sisters in Christ. But oh, dear ones, let's not lose sight of this very fact. That in Christ, but in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And He is our peace, who has broken down. Oh, in Christ, it was demonstrated, wasn't it? Remember when the woman at the well, remember when she went back home? She got convinced, this is Him. This is Him. What we've been speaking about for a long time. I believe it's Him. She went back and told the rest of them. You know what they did? Did they say, was that a Jew told that to you? Is that what they said? Is that a Jew? Oh, if that's a Jew, I'm not going out there. That's not what they said. They needed help. They needed hope. They needed something for their soul. And she said, come see a man that said, told me everything I ever did. I want you to come and get to know this one. There's something special here. Didn't make any difference he was a Jew. Didn't make any difference what color of skin. If we are in Christ, it makes no difference.
That's right.
Lord, rebuke the devil to try to make us think any different.
Yes.
Because that other thinking is not of God.
That's right.
But there is something that happens when we are at the cross of Christ.
Yes.
There's a middle wall that gets broken down. I've used this term before because it seems so impressive to my mind how the Lord attacked the walls of division. And I said, in Christ, it's like God took a wrecking ball, to a wall that had long divided people because God intended for there to be one body of Christ. And there is not two bodies today. There is one body. And God calls us to the same cross, to the same godliness, the same Christ. He calls us into one body. And that is found in Christ. That is created today in Christ. I don't know, I want to encourage you today. We should understand. I don't want to tread in water that would be too uncomfortable for us here. But I'm going to say something. And I want you to understand, I don't have Facebook. I'm not opposed to Facebook. My wife has Facebook. So I want you to understand that. But I will tell you, I'm opposed to some conversations that's being had on Facebook.
Yes, that's right.
You know why? Because it doesn't line up with the Scripture. Do things that make for peace. Isn't there Scripture something about things that make for peace? I think the devil has gotten in sometimes and caused there to be enough rancor begin to build in people's lives. And God has for us today a ministry of reconciliation. And sometimes it takes some repentance. Say, I'm sorry, Lord, I did that wrong. It's okay. You know, Daddy loves it when he comes home and maybe the children's all at each other's throat and maybe the place is in chaos and Mama doesn't know what to do. And if he starts dealing with it and finally the child says, I'm sorry. Daddy likes that. When they begin to humble down and say, I'm sorry. Oh, it just brings, doesn't it bring a calmness? And that's what God is looking for in this nation today. Oh, we say, God bless America. Well, it's hard for Him to bless America over all the chaos that's going on. But He said, if my people who are called, if they'll humble their heart, if this is what they do, oh, I want to preach to you today a ministry of reconciliation. And it begins first, being reconciled to Christ. That's it. Enter in to Christ. Let Christ be formed in you and I. Because I want to tell you, we should understand and recognize that the devil is trying to be formed also. The devil's trying to propagate his ideas. God help us to be awake and alive and understanding enough to realize what the devil's trying to do and reject that. And come back to the cross and behold our Savior and let His likeness, beholding, how is that? We behold the glory of the Lord. We are changed. What's that scripture? Talking about beholding Him. So we behold the glory of the Lord. As we behold something about the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image. And that's what God wants to do for you and I. I know this might be a little bit on the edge of uncomfortable for us. And possibly the reason why it may be on the edge of uncomfortable for us because the devil has been at work trying to cause some trouble.
Yes.
And can I, in love, in tenderness of heart, if I could somehow say, can we talk today? Can we become vulnerable first to the lover of our soul? Come and say, Lord, wipe away all this that's going on. It's caused me to have some difficulties. I've been caught up in this thing and I don't know how to extricate myself. But Lord, I'm looking to You. Isn't that the right way? Be reconciled to God. A ministry. Can I in love? Can I entreat us today to find ourselves utmost first and foremost? Can I entreat us to find ourselves before the cross of Christ and do all we know how to be like Him? Because I will tell you that if that is the goal of our life, all these other things are going to take care of themselves. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, things that we need will be added to us, but also some of these other things we don't need to be just slide off. It'll go by its wayside. And that's part of what salvation does. It changes us.
Yes.
Not all that change happens in the blink of an eye at a moment. It's not the way it works. Some of that salvation is an ongoing active work of God as we walk in the land of Canaan. Isn't that so? I say it is. There's a place in our saved and sanctified life. I've come and asked the Lord, Lord, give me of your Holy Spirit. I need, Lord, I want to be guided. This idea, this carnal mind that has infected me and caused me so much trouble in life and led me down the wrong way. Lord, I want that unholy thoughts, these unholy spirit that has seemed to drive my life. Lord, I want you to reply. I want you to come in. I want your Holy Spirit. I want your godly spirit to be in me. Guide my thoughts and my actions. And then he'll do that. You know, he wants to be that. It's his desire to come in. And as he gets in there, you know what he starts doing? He starts changing our mindset. And as we walk in the land of Canaan. Now there's a place we cross that river. We get over there. We step into the land of Canaan. But beyond that, on Jordan's yonder shore, did you know there's sometimes, you know what was over there? There's Giants and Jerichos. Giants and Jerichos were over there. And every one of them falls when we obey the Lord. And the giants that we find today in the world falls also when we follow the Lord. Have I been affected? Have I been nervous? Have I been, how would I say this, apprehensive about the rancor that we see in our world today? Yes. Enough that I have been very burdened about it. Because when everything that I've ever seen become very prominent in the world around us, it has always affected the body of Christ. I'm not saying that it infects the body of Christ, but I have seen it affect. You know, I have to battle it. You and I need to keep our eyes open to recognize, Lord, give us tender hearts that we may be quick of understanding to see. If something comes along to begin to take my peace, there's a ministry of reconciliation that God calls us to. A place where we first are reconciled, Lord. This is another reason why I recommend to all of us, put a habit in your life. As you close out your day or at points in your day, come to the Lord and honestly open up and say, Lord, help me. I want victory today. Lord, one of the things I did, I set as a pattern when I was a young man, first serving the Lord. Before we ended, I went to bed that night. I knelt beside my bed and I prayed. And I just pour out my heart. Sometimes it was a prayer of almost routine. It was like, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thanks for keeping me, giving me victory. Thank you, Lord. And sometimes it was, Lord, I didn't have so much victory today. Really, just open up your heart. You know what this does? That's part of resisting the devil. Open up your heart. Sometimes I said, Lord, I don't feel very good today. I don't feel very victorious today. There was one time I tried to act like I didn't even remember what I did that day. But it didn't work very well because the Lord kept reminding me. It's hard to pray over something you know you didn't do right. And I was down on my knees trying to say my prayer so I go to sleep. And the Lord is wanting me to do more than say a prayer. He wanted me to open up my heart. That's really what we want to do. I got down there and you know, sometimes we feel like we have a right. I felt like I had a right to feel bad at somebody because I believe they meant to say something wrong to me. They intentionally. And I think You know, it's been so far back, I don't remember it well right now myself. I left that back there, except I took away this. That at that moment, I felt like that somebody had intentionally meant to treat me wrong. That's kind of hard to take, isn't it? And I carried that, felt bad, came to the end of the day. And he wasn't dealing with me what they did. He was dealing with me what I was feeling. I got down and began to pray and tried to pray and wasn't working, and he kept bringing me back. And I tried one time to say, but Lord, they meant to. And I tried to explain why I had a right to feel hurt. And somehow when I was telling the Lord that openly like that, it wasn't making sense. Thank God. Thank God He doesn't let us get by. Our Heavenly Father loves His children. You know, if He wouldn't have loved me, He'd have just never corrected me. But whom He loves, He chastens. And here I was dealing with this, and He loved me enough to not let me get by. Because if that seed would have continued to grow in my life, it wouldn't have stayed small. It would have taken over more and more of my life and would cause a lot of damage. So I ask us and encourage us, when we take stock, when we go down to prayer before the Lord, open up our heart honestly before the Lord, and we take stock of who we are and what we're doing and the thoughts that have been going through our mind, it's okay, not only okay, but abundantly proper for us to say, Lord, change me. If I see something here that's not right, Lord, I don't know how to deal with some of my feelings and my emotions right now. Okay, tell Him that. That's where it is. Tell Him. But Lord, I want to. I want to get past this. Help me, Lord. I don't know. Take it to Him. Wrap up the whole bundle and say, this is where I am. This is my feelings. This is all the emotions I'm going through. But I'm tired of the weight on my shoulders. You said if we're tired, if we're burdened, come to me, all you that labor. And I'm one of those right now. I'm your child, but I've got this weight. And I'm going to give it to you now, Lord. You know what happens when we do that? There's a reconciling begins to happen. There's some healing in relationships. There's homes begin to be able to be put back together. There's futures begin to be formed in godliness. God's able then to direct our future. But that's where we've got to come to. This place where I come back to the cross. That doesn't mean you're not saved. But the cross is a real good place to come. Lord, I see who I am. I see something in me that's just, I need some help, Lord. And you know, the Lord has committed to you and I a ministry of reconciliation, but not only that, He has brought to us reconciliation in Christ. You and I can bring ourselves, sometimes our wounded selves, sometimes our selves that have confused and maybe got twisted up, don't know how to handle life, but we can bring every bit of that. We can bring it to Him, and He doesn't reject us. Because He's the one that said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So have for us this afternoon the ministry of reconciliation. Be ye reconciled to Christ. Can I in God's stead implore you, if who you are today, if we find something in us that's not reconciled, if there's something there, can I implore you in the state, in the place of Christ, say, be ye reconciled. I want to encourage us. Let us take stock of who we are. We're getting ready to put this meeting. This is the last service. But we're going back home. Now's the time. Now. Don't carry with us something we shouldn't carry. Don't take it back home. But if now, the Lord, we see that the Lord is encouraging us to step away from where we've been. I want to encourage us to do that. Give it to the Lord, because God offers us this afternoon, now, a ministry of reconciliation where peace can rule in our hearts. Pray for me. Y'all want to serve Him too. We all need this from time to time. May the Lord bless us.